Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fordway, Merlone, and Fourier's broadcast from the Ford Clubhouse Studio at Fenway Park is brought to you by Fraser Engineering. Great people doing great work. And Window World of Boston.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I went to church. I prayed.
I got to pray Kevin Durant's coming. I got to pray Kyrie's coming.
Preach it, preacher.
I got to pray that ping pong balls falling in the Knicks' favor.
I'm told if the Knicks get that number one overall pick, they would then shift their focus toward a potential deal for Anthony Davis.
James, the number one pick. Think about it.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
Swing and a miss, strike three, 17 strikeouts for Chris Sale.
It's called a power pitcher, by the way.
In the tunnel, he goes, you're not going to let me get 20?
You're the siren sounder. You got this place just humming.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
And your kids die, too.
Hurricanes win this game, too.
Bruins aren't winning this game. There's no way they win this game because they're pumped.
The Bruins have taken a 3-0 lead in the series, winning the game by a score of 2-1.
And all right, go ahead.
Right now. On Sports Radio WEEI.
It was a great night here in Boston. I couldn't have been any better. I mean, you saw what Tuukka Rask did. Shut them down.
Yeah,
20 shots on net in the first period. I'm going to get to that. Celtics, contrary to what Gasper and others are saying, I don't know what they were watching. It was a good night. You kept the number one pick away from the New York Knicks. It opens the door, I think, still for Boston to do a deal with Anthony Davis and stop it about Anthony Davis leaving, staying with New Orleans to play with Zion Williamson. That's not going to happen. And then Chris Sale's back to being Chris Sale. He had 17 strikeouts in seven innings. The team had 24 strikeouts overall. They're pitching. Okay, they lost the game, Lou. So
just real quick on Chris Sale. Yeah? I mean, talk about a guy that if you were to pull... I mean, if you look at all the games Chris Sale has had a good game, played great at, gone to, you know, six, seven innings, a ton of strikeouts, he usually ends up losing those games. Like, he ends up pitching great, but he gets no run support, and he takes an L or he gets a no decision. And not that, I mean, I guess wins and losses are a huge thing. I guess, you know, there's other, you know, stats that are more important for pitchers.
Tremendous effort.
But his wins and losses would be so much better if he actually, on the nights that he pitched well, and go back to last year, even look at it, his win-loss record would be so much better.
Well, going into last night, they've scored two or fewer runs in seven of his eight starts. You know, and I know what his record is, and I know they're not winning. I think they're 2-7 now in his starts. But even that last start, so the last two games, Chris Sale's thrown 15 innings. He's given up six hits. He's given up three runs. And he struck out 31 guys and no walks. And he's got two no decisions. You know, and it was just, it was electric. And to me, I still get all these people, you know, you think that this is going to be the guy in September. I have no idea. Yeah. Nobody knows what he's going to be like in August and September. You might find out that this didn't work. All I do know is that since August 1st of last year, I never knew if I was going to see that again. I think a lot of people didn't know if you were going to see this again from him. You know, the last two or three starts. He's got 41 punchouts and one walk in his last three starts. So, really, we didn't know if his shoulder was healthy or not. His shoulder can't be healthy. The guy doesn't look right. He didn't look right since July 29th of last year. That was the last time he pitched. So, it's just good to see that he is sort of back to being that dominant force on the mound. And it is. It's 93, 94. He's hit 96, I think. But slider, changeup, location, everything.
Oh, slider's nasty.
So for me, it's just I don't know what the future holds. All I know is that I'm just glad to be able to see it again because I didn't know if it was going to be there.
Yeah. He's pitching right now in May the way he was last year when he was pitching really well earlier on in the season. Oh, what the hell? No, we don't know what's going to happen in September and October.
So now you start looking at the bullpen.
Maybe he's worn out again. Bullpen, you're starting to see some cracks, I think.
Well, the problem is that, you know, You know, we talked about like Tuukka Rask is going to, you know, if they sweep this thing and he pitches another shutout, and then the Super Bowl is an opportunity, but can you really get on him? I kind of feel the same way about Workman. You know, the guy hasn't given up a hit in like 7 months. You know what I mean? They just, I think they're hitting 40 off the guy. So he gives up a double, which should have been a home run, and then a legit home run to Blackman. So it's like, okay, and the guy literally hasn't given up a hit in like 40 at-bats. He just did last night, right? And they just, you know, they blew it, and Brazier's got his own issues.
All right, let me throw this in. Jim McBride of the
Globe. Breaking news.
Now reporting that Jamie Collins is a member.
Breaking news.
Jamie Collins is now once again a member of the New England Patriots.
All right.
Oh, good.
I like that.
Good. Maybe he learned his lesson. Maybe he won't freelance.
Yeah, let's go back to see.
Right?
Let's talk about so.
No, think about it. Jamie Collins.
He's a talented guy.
He's a very talented player. Yeah. He's fast. He's everything.
Like, he flips there, in his pads.
No, you just you loved his athleticism. He got out of here, and the stories were that, you know, he's just freelancing. He's doing his own thing.
Well, there's a lot of stories out there as far as just off-the-field issues.
It was that Houston game. Do you remember that?
Yeah, right? But you're right, Christian. There's a few stories out there. You don't know what's true, what's not. But the bottom line is that you got more athletic, you know, at that position, right? You got faster at that position.
That's right.
So he's coming back here with the understanding of hopefully what that role is, and I think it's a good signing.
Yeah, see, I didn't watch. He was with Cleveland, right?
Yeah,
he was with Cleveland. I don't know how many Cleveland games you actually watched. So I don't know if he's learned his lessons, if he's better, if he's worse. Is he more mature? Is he still the freak athlete? Does he have any injuries? But I do know that the guy, when he was here, when he was playing at a high level, there wasn't a better, I'm going to call him hybrid linebacker, guy that can cover backs, guy that can cover, even though he got burned a couple times, but everybody does, tight ends, especially those betweener-type tight ends that aren't necessarily hand-on-the-ground type guys, more of a flex guy. He can cover those guys. He's big enough, physical enough, and he's fast enough to cover those guys.
I think
that's what you need.
I think the one thing I noticed when he left is he became the third.
Isn't that the third?
I think he's Jamie Collins the third. I think he has it on his shirt.
So he must have. So he became the third.
I believe so. He's something. I remember always seeing him. It was like Jamie Collins 111. I think he became the third. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, boy, he turns 30 in October.
I mean,
so
juniors,
whatever. They got athletic. They got fast. And like you said, I mean, he can cover multiple positions.
So this is what we're gonna see here, right? Like guys trickling in.
Yes.
A guy here. A guy here.
Yep.
A guy that's in his eighth year in the league.
Yeah. Senior. Became a senior.
So he's a senior. Okay. Yeah. So he had a kid. And the name gave him the same name.
So he's bragging about having sex.
Yeah. I had sex. My girlfriend had a baby. And I'm so impressed with myself that I gave him my name.
Yeah.
Because nobody's better than me.
Yeah, he's bragging. So the thing with Jamie Collins when he was here, was he kind of like the freelancing because he wanted that contract? You know what I mean? So you get this, right? This young player, this Terry Rozier type, who is just sort of like, this is what I need to do, and screw that. I'm going to do this because I'm going to go here and get this sack. Oh, damn, I'm in the wrong spot because I'm a free agent. And, you know, the Patriots don't pay crap. And is that part of it? So now it's sort of like, okay, you got your deal. Hasn't really worked out. Now you come back here and look, are we good now? Can we just go back to doing what we tell you to do?
Well, it's easier too, Lou, because you can sit there.
Oh, well, Gerard Mayo's his coach now,
so that's another one.
Maybe that's something to do with it.
It's easy because you can say to him, "You ended up getting cut, right? Because you were making too much money. That was the problem,
right?
So you made too much money, so therefore your production has to be way the hell up here. We need you to do this, 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 and this, and this is the money.
Yes,
and it's much easier. You're right. The second time around, because there's maybe not a third time.
A young kid chasing the cash.
Yes,
need to do different things. Freelance.
Understand. By the way, one other story out today. Rick Grosbeck was on with the other guys over at the Hub. He said that that he and Kyrie Irving have spoken.
Since the season ended, right?
But he won't comment on specifics of those conversations. He also noted agendas behind reports that are out there.
Okay.
The stuff that's out there in many cases doesn't make any sense.
Like what?
This would be my guess.
He's already said this.
The report that is out there concerning Kyrie going to play with LeBron out in L.A. My guess is that's a Rich Paul special. Try to create a buzz.
No, but I think that's the easiest one to kind of knock down.
Give me another one.
Well, Stephen A. Smith. That's the story I would assume he would be referring to.
Oh, 95% he's going to New York?
That he's going to New York, and he's not staying in Boston. That's the one. The L.A. one was, kind of out of left field. I would say the New York Knicks one, that's the one I think everybody is nervous about.
Right.
Not L.A. He's not going to go play with LeBron. I don't care how good it looks or on paper. But New York is the one you're afraid of.
Then he was asking, we assume that the Celtics want Kyrie back. He said, I'm not going to comment on any specific players.
And I don't want to hear about Kyrie staying in Boston. He ain't staying in Boston. Stop that nonsense. He's out.
So by answering, I'm not going to comment on any specific players, as you can well imagine, there are people on Twitter basically saying, oh, my God, this is it. It must be the end. He must be leaving.
I think that is very
consistent with the way that Wick Grosbeck deals with this type of stuff.
Wick said this before.
Yeah.
And he said this when Kyrie Irving, after that, when he's sitting in Madison Square Garden, and now it's the I don't owe people bleep, right? That whole thing, that crap storm that started there, I believe shortly after that, Wick went out and talked about agendas. And I think he was referring to, you know, the reports of the Knicks and going to New York, where the Knicks are trying to just rattle the cage a little bit and all these other. So he said this back then, and that was, what, 3 months ago, I believe. So, yeah, he's still kind of on that thing. I guess he also said in the show that, quote, it was one of the hardest teams to love from my standpoint, which I think every Celtics fan agrees with him. I don't say this. They weren't hard to love. They were easy to hate. I mean, it was just, you didn't like them. I mean, how many times do you sit there and say, I don't like this team.
Okay, so
I don't like anything about this team.
Yeah, and because the chemistry isn't right. So, okay, do you hate the chemistry? Do you hate the fact that they're so discombobulated that they're not playing well? Or do you hate individual players? Or is it so hard for you to like a Terry Rozier, to like a Jaylen Brown, whoever it may be? Is that what it is? Because everybody looks at the chemistry and says, wow, what a nightmare. But there's a reason for it. There's got to be a catalyst. There's got to be somebody who's stirring the pot that's making the chemistry so crappy. So then who is it?
Yeah, but I think it was obvious right from the get-go. We talked about it back in October, Christian, that you got young kids who suddenly got a taste of stardom.
No, but I know that. But that's the result of that's the chemistry issue. Okay, but who's the cause? Who is it? Who is the guy that once they identify what the problem
it's
was,
and
after
mix.
500 team meetings...
It was a bad mix.
Okay, so fine. So if it's a bad mix...
Hold on.
It's a bad mix, right? So we said earlier last week that it was Brad Stevens' fault. Like Brad Stevens has a big piece of the blame pie because he couldn't manage these personalities. I would say the guy knows how to manage personalities, but every now and then you get a group of guys that can't be managed, that refuse to be coached, that refuse to play unselfish. That's what that locker room looks like to me. So if you want to look at Brad Stevens and give him some blame, you can go ahead. But every great coach will eventually come across a guy, Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio, that doesn't want to play ball, that doesn't want to, you know, pull the wagon in the same direction. He's going in an opposite direction.
Yeah, but so then you're putting it back to one player. You're putting it back to Kyrie then, and I don't think that's fair.
No, I'm not putting it on Kyrie. I would say give Kyrie another year and a buffer, meaning a veteran, alpha for real dog,
for
that
real?
Type
alpha,
of guy,
alpha for real?
Then I think you have a totally different atmosphere in that locker room, yes. Because everyone just sits back. Instead of sitting there and judging Kyrie Irving or getting pissed off because he's being condescending or passive-aggressive, you just sit there and kind of laugh at him, and it's like, oh, that's just Kyrie being Kyrie. Because somebody else, the guy who's really running the show, is actually, you know, regulating the way Kyrie should, but he can't.
He's an alpha, real, for real dog.
It's easy, you know, because you sit there and look at it. There's only a couple guys that you usually ruin the entire team.
I'm convinced, and Lou brought this up the other day, and if they had lost in that first series against Milwaukee a year ago, you would not have had this same type of dysfunction this year with this team.
I agree.
Changes everything.
I don't know if that means they would have beat Milwaukee. I have no idea, but it would have looked a hell of a lot different.
Yeah. It would have been different.
Kyrie would have been like, oh, okay, you know, he's still the alpha dog, right? They need me to win. Terry Rozier certainly wouldn't have felt the way he felt about himself. Wouldn't have gone third person, you know, if they had got bounced in that first round. So, I think it would have changed a lot. Kids, Jaylen Brown, you know, they would have been more acceptable of like, okay, we're not close. We need to get better. We still need to learn. And I think part of that was missing. It was, we've got it figured out. We've already accomplished a lot, and you need to respect that.
See, the NBA is so different than these other sports. Maybe you get a little bit of it with football, with like wideouts, okay, bitching and kind of diva attitude. In the NBA, it's all about being one of those superstars. There's no great accomplishment in that league for being one of the great teammates, a guy that kind of does his thing, that is a specialty here or there, okay? And you need to have a certain personality like an Aaron Baines who knows his territory, knows what his job is, and he doesn't need to be that guy. But most of the players in the NBA, it's all about being around the rap artist. It's all about being in the entertainment world. It's all about being the celebrity
and
the star.
Life.
Exactly. That's what it is. And the problem is some of them can do it and others can't.
See, I think it's
an
easy
fix. And these guys got a taste of it.
I think it's actually an easy fix. I think it is not a difficult to manage.
Yeah, bring Anthony Davis in here.
Well, I mean, I asked you the other day, if it's not Anthony Davis, then who is it?
That's a problem.
If let's say it doesn't work out, the same roster is not coming back. So there's going to be some guys that are missing. And then I would say it's almost like you get another free agent signing if Gordon Hayward plays like Gordon Hayward. If Gordon Hayward never got hurt and Kyrie Irving never got hurt and everybody developed the way they naturally would have or should have developed, what type of team do you have? I mean, if you have those – if Kyrie Irving doesn't have leadership issues and Gordon Hayward doesn't become afraid to shoot or just be tentative – what kind of team do you have?
Well, but I think you got
to have a totally different team.
But I think you have a better chance of that happening if you've got another of those alpha dogs in an Anthony Davis, and then suddenly the third complement to that becomes Gordon Hayward.
I don't even think you need an Anthony Davis. I would say give me a more vocal, demanding Al Horford. Take Al Horford.
What's up, guys?
He plays
in that
and
league.
Just make
though,
him more vocal, more.
It's the stars in that league, though. So,
you have them.
No, you don't. I'm just saying. Like, I don't think even if Al was vocal, he's not on Kyrie's level, and Kyrie knows that. You know what I mean? So that's why I think it is about talent. It is about another star to play off of that. Hopefully, you know, you can kind of get each other straightened out.
Changes everything. I think
you got to be at the same level in that league. You know, it's just not, I think, like, you know, in baseball here, I've seen a lot of guys that, you know, maybe aren't even the best players or starters for that fact matter, be like leaders on the team. In the NBA, it's just, who are you?
So,
better than
so,
you.
And how does that, what is that based,
make more money
based
than
on?
You?
It's based on your salary. So Gordon Hayward's making a lot of damn
status,
money.
Status, what you've accomplished
Horford's
in the game.
Making a lot of damn money.
But what you've accomplished in the, yeah, do you think that Al's making, you know, if they're both making 30 and Hayward making 30, you think Kyrie Irving feels like they're on the same level as he is? I don't.
I mean, I get it, but if Hayward never gets hurt,
I've won a championship.
Okay, congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. But I still make just as much money as you.
Don't
do.
Matter. You've accomplished
as
much as
that.
I have.
It starts with Matt.
You're
that,
not as
the
smart
guys,
as I am.
The most, the best players
I'm
and the highest paid players.
I'm a genius.
I can see the play before it even happens.
I should shoot 30 times. You should shoot 8.
I'm like a psychic. I got to see where the ball's going in before you shoot it.
But I'm not sure that Gordon
the
Hayward
game's
has
changing,
that type
coach.
Of, I'm not sure that Gordon Hayward has that type of attitude. We don't know that.
Do you remember how he was?
It's almost like he's too shy. What, I do.
Okay, no, not game-wise, because I can't remember one post-game press conference that he had, okay? So we know what his game was like, but what was his personality like in the city with the media?
I don't know that.
What was like, yeah, I don't know.
We weren't seeing him on a day-to-day basis.
I don't think they're very demanding
or
critical.
But he was never one of those guys, even as an all-star, he was never one of those guys that was really vocal that you heard much about. If anything, I thought I couldn't stand the way Utah played. Not that they weren't good defensively. They were terrific with Rudy Gobert, but they were slowed. It was half court, and I'm sitting there going, God, he comes to Boston. They're going to start running the lanes. It's going to be a much better situation for him than it was in Utah. But he may not have that attitude. I think that Anthony Davis is that guy right now. And obviously, you look at his talent, he's on a different level than Hayward.
Yeah.
Hayward might be a max contract guy because he was the available guy at the time when they had the money to pay him. But if you have your choice of these two guys, there's no comparison between Davis and Hayward, right? I mean, there's no comparison.
No, but I mean, he's still a good player with the potential to be great. He's an all-star. So having him on the team, as is, should make you competitive just with the roster that you have. Just imagine if the team had the same kind of attitude as they had last year. Same group of guys with the same attitude. Because, I mean, that was their biggest issue. They all had crappy attitudes. All of them. Now, give them the attitude from last year, this year.
Well, the only way to do that is to give grown-ups, to put grown-ups on the team. That's what you need.
And subtract some children.
Right, exactly. And a big part of it, I'm sorry, is Brad Stevens. And you're right. You can't throw all of it at him because it just might be bad apples. Okay,
bad
and that
job.
May be an issue for him to do it. But he's the guy that travels. He's the guy that's with those players every single day. He's got to be able to see it, and they've got to be able to figure it out. And who knows? Maybe he went to Danny before the trading deadline and said, Danny, we got some issues here. You might have to subtract somebody here to make this thing work. Maybe Rozier was the guy. You know, we know now that that Kyrie's healthy enough. Maybe we can move him.
Yeah,
I think
you know,
maybe
but
that
I,
happened,
I've heard
but
that,
they didn't do it.
But I've heard that criticism. You know, that's a guy. This year, Danny at the deadline didn't do enough. You know, while the Raptors are getting Mirotić, I mean, Milwaukee's getting Mirotić, and Tobias Harris is in Philly, and Raptors got Gasol, right?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
So it was like Danny's just sitting around. Again, I don't know what you want them to do. You know, I don't know what you want them to add. We talked about getting another big, right? Because Baines wasn't exactly healthy, and Horford, you didn't really know what was going on. You could have subtracted. But if you're Danny Ainge, and you're in a position, do you want to subtract any assets? Because you don't know what you're going to need. You subtract Terry Rozier for a piece. Maybe you could have used him for Anthony Davis, you know, instead of Marcus Smart, as you mentioned, right? So I didn't want him to do anything then. Because if his eyes are on Anthony Davis, he's not going to trade anything, any asset that he might need to put in a deal for Anthony Davis. So you can't be critical of him at the deadline. This is on the players and the team not coming together.
It's fun to get all kind of nutty on all the rumors and gossip and, you know, Colin Cowherd and Stephen A. Smith and friend of the family. Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in that, you know, just all the gossip and rumors that go on. The fact is that there's already, I would say, a wink-wink handshake agreement with Kyrie that he's not going anywhere.
Oh, I know. You believe that's true?
Yeah, I believe that the engagement is real. I believe that he isn't going anywhere. And sure, they're going to let him go kick the tires and go flirt around. Listen, go have your bachelor party.
Kyrie's
we're engaged.
He's been friendly with a female now for a few months.
That's okay. That's all right.
It's uncomfortable.
As long as no fluids are exchanged, I think we're all kind of happy about it.
It's leading that way, though.
No,
it starts with a friendship.
Nope, it's a bachelor party. We're going to Nashville. We're gonna just come back. Don't worry about it.
He's been sexting.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, with
sending
Kevin
dirty pictures of himself to Kevin Durant.
So I'm not even sure if I were Danny Ainge, and I said this yesterday, he has, you know, his health used as an excuse right now and basically say, I need a few weeks. We need to back off for a few weeks. I don't know if you want to do any of this now where it's very emotional. There's a long time before he has to make this decision and before he can make the decision. So I think you let him just back off. Maybe you keep in touch, but you let him back off a little bit. And then you come back here in a few weeks and you sit him down and you say, okay. And again, I know people are going to hate this because they want Danny to chastise him and say, what did you do? What did you do to our team? Even Wick didn't think it was a likable team.
Leave the guy alone, Glenn.
So what they've got to do is they've got to sit him down. Okay, it didn't work this year. Okay, we love you. We think you're our guy. You're the man. What do? How about Anthony Davis? And you start, because he's tight with Anthony Davis, you start talking about this is what the team is going to be next year.
Sure.
And you get him excited about it. And then you talk about, if he's looking at alternatives, you try to put holes in those alternatives from, oh, good luck. James Dolan, you think he's going to be like Wick? You think you're going to be able to sit and talk to that owner anytime you want? Good luck trying to get a meeting with James Dolan. You play that whole game. And you get the agent involved in, and then you get him excited. And it would not surprise me, because I don't think anything's done yet, Christian, but it wouldn't surprise me if 4 weeks from now, that's when they get him excited. And I still think they have the best deal.
So do I.
Package deal.
So do I.
To throw to New Orleans.
And I would say it's more likely that I do think there's somebody else out there. And if the Anthony Davis trade doesn't work out, I still feel like there's another body, there's another player out there that will complement him and give them the right mix of just personality and attitude. I feel like that. And oh, by the way, you were embarrassed this year. I mean, and you say, okay, well, the worst thing to happen to them is for them to go to the finals without Kyrie, without Hayward. I would say the best thing that happened to them looking forward to next year is they got smoked, embarrassed, and they can obviously tell what the issues were. It was the fact that they just couldn't get along.
Yeah. All right, to the phone calls we go. Here's Joe in the car. What's up, Joe?
Oh, my God. You got the window
close
open.
Close the window, Joe.
Window's not open. I'm just driving on the highway.
All right, bud.
So, you've been talking about this, like, few little games.
I would love to hear your point.
Go.
Yeah.
Peter's in Jamaica playing, Pete.
Hello?
Oh, my God. What's up, Peter, in Jamaica playing?
Am I on?
No, this is Tyler. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. Glenn, you got to stop talking about this cute little team because they start 5 lottery picks, okay?
Did I hurt you, Peter?
When you talk about Anthony Davis, okay, he's making $26 million. Okay, to get him to balance the money, you know the salary cap. It's going to be Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and the 14th pick in the draft. For 1 year of Anthony Davis, do you do that? And he was a malcontent.
No, I'll give you. I'll give you the deal. It's Brown or Tatum. Okay.
No. Okay.
I'm giving you. It's Brown or Tatum. I'm doing a sign and trade with Terry Rozier because I want to keep Marcus Smart.
Terry Rozier. They want Marcus Smart.
I would think they would want Rozier over Smart. That's just my gut feeling. If I were New Orleans, I would want Rozier over Smart right now. Yes, I would. If I were Boston, based on the position they're in, I want Smart. And then you could even include like a Robert Williams or something like that and then go draft Bol Bol in this year's draft. Memphis, number one pick. I give that one up as well. All right? It's a better deal, and the numbers work. It's a better deal than what the Knicks can give or what the Lakers can give.
Okay, I say it's Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and the 14th draft pick. Do you do that deal?
If I'm the one?
You're cutting the team. What if Anthony Davis walks after a year? You're not a cute little team. You're a sucky team.
Well, let me ask you, Peter, why do you think they want Smart over Rozier? Because Marcus Smart is
the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, he is. And you know what all defensive players do?
On from the three-point range now, and he's their best passer.
Okay, so all defensive players on crappy teams with youth.
Would you rather have Marcus Smart or Terry Rozier?
On the Celtics?
On what team?
See, Peter, this is the problem. On the Celtics, it's Marcus Smart.
Yes.
On the Pelicans, it's Terry Rozier.
Absolutely.
On a bad team, it's Terry Rozier. 100%. He's a starting point guard. Marcus Smart's a defensive specialist.
Everyone on the Celtics says that Marcus Smart is the heart and soul of the
team. Peter, you're missing the point, Peter. It's totally different needs for a championship contender versus a team who's starting from scratch. You don't want to put Marcus Smart out there for long minutes. You're going to have to do that team.
He's only making $14 million.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know.
All players are not the same. In different situations, you're using different guys for different purposes. If you're in New Orleans, you don't necessarily, when you're starting from scratch, you don't have a lot of guys that can score. Leaving Marcus Smart out there, firing up threes, even though he can defend, you don't need to defend. You need to score.
The value of Marcus Smart is on a defensive end because on a good team, in the fourth quarter, he makes a winning play for you. That changes the game.
Correct.
On a bad team, he makes a play for you in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, you're already down 18.
That's Marcus Smart. So you don't notice the significance.
So you don't
notice the impact
of Marcus Smart, the play he makes in the fourth quarter, because you're not winning games.
Yeah, Peter
noticed that on a winning club.
Peter thinks all these guys are alike. Marcus Smart, it fits in to what you need with the Celtics right now. I don't want Rozier. I want Smart if I've got the choice of the two. It might work out perfectly for you because I believe New Orleans would want Terry Rozier because of the upside and the more complete game that he gives you right now. He can score. You can put him out on the floor and he can score. And that's what you need when you're a bad, young, bad team. It makes all the sense in the world, but he's missing the point. One team loves what they've got, and the other team is looking for something totally
Mark
different.
Mark is stupid.
Oh, yes. All right, 617-779.
Wait, do we got the suit sale now?
7937. It's coming up next. Calm down. I got
Ooh.
It under control.
So listen, I'm going to tell
don't
you,
worry
like,
about it.
Listen, from someone who's been married twice.
I got to read here.
Someone
tell
who's
me.
Been married twice.
Yeah.
I wish I had this opportunity.
You want to get married a third time?
I want to get married a third time to the same woman.
So if you were a young guy right now looking to get married, you'd get free suits?
Between the ages of 25 and 35,
and a little bachelor party sort of thing at Fenway during the game?
I would love it.
That's a pretty good deal.
Well, we're going to have it coming up. We're going to have it coming up next. This hour has been brought to you by Rhino Shield. Don't go away. We're going to give you that code word. We're going to get back to the phone calls as well at 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
You'd be putting a lot of blind faith in a group of people and an owner that has been nothing but bad at their job. I would say that if you get Durant, Kyrie, and AD, like, I don't want to say it's idiot-proof, but, like, even if you only have a skeleton supporting cast around them, like, you're still going to be dangerous to win the whole thing. So, like, that's the thing. Like, if you're the Celtics, you're a Celtics fan, and you see the Knicks at fourth or fifth, you will feel overwhelmingly better about your chances of retaining Kyrie Irving. You can outbid the Knicks for Anthony Davis if your boss beyond that number one or even the number two overall pick. You just got to be wary of them getting number one. And if you're Kyrie Irving, you and Durant and like the fourth pick, that doesn't win much.
That's Chris Mannix from yesterday's show. Yeah, you can outdo the Knicks. The Knicks can give up the number three pick. Unfortunately, they didn't get number one, and you're dealing with New Orleans. If they had number one and they had Zion, that would be perfect in trying to, you know, lock him up along with Kevin Knox and maybe Dennis Smith Jr. and who knows whatever. And then you could get Davis. Instead, you could even give your first-round draft pick for next year. If you're the Knicks, what do you care? That draft pick is going to suck if you've got Kyrie and you've got Davis and you've got Durant. But now, instead of getting number one, they only have number three. And number three is very questionable in this draft. The Lakers have number four, even more questionable in this draft, and they've got Ball, they've got Kuzman, they've got Ingram to give up. The Celtics have that Memphis pick, which I think has got a lot of clout.
2021.
Would be interesting, because you don't know how they feel about it, right? Maybe, you know, Danny last year, we didn't know, you know, 2 years ago, he loved Tatum. You know what I mean? And even though, so he obviously traded the Fultz, number one pick, he loved Tatum. So I don't know what's going on in New Orleans. They might look at R.J. Barrett at three and say, you know what, we love this kid. The problem that the Knicks have is that who comes with him? The kid Knox, Kevin Knox, rookie?
Yep, you don't
Dennis Smith Jr.? I'm just saying, you know, if they had that young player with it, you know, if they had Tatum with it, you know what I mean? It would help their chances. And with the Lakers, everything you hear with this draft, and really it's really about buzz, is that, you know, one through three, and then after that, who knows? Like, 4 through 10, who 4 through whatever. Like, there's no clear-cut number 4. It seems like a three-guy draft right now. And they're sitting at 4. If they were 3, now that might have been a little bit different as well, because you can add some of the players on the roster, you know, to go along with what could be a third pick.
I just think if you're looking at a number 3, getting a number 3, or getting a number 4, I don't know what those players are. Tatum was a number 3.
So it wasn't Jaylen Brown.
I know what either one of those guys were. Plus, you're also going to give me that Memphis pick. And maybe they throw the 15th pick in as well, Sacramento pick. But you got a lot more options if you're Boston. If you're New York now without having that number one pick in Zion to deal away, you have one option and one option only. Will you take our third, Knox and Smith? That's it.
Yeah,
and David Griffin's going to look at it and say either like it or see you later, goodbye. There are no other options. The Knicks can't do anything else, and the Lakers are the same way. Does anybody want Lonzo Ball? I hate to say it, he's not a bad player, but the old man comes with him. He's still limited, and you're going to put him in a situation where you're going to start rebuilding with Lonzo Ball?
Welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And here's the other thing. So Danny Ainge usually, I would say, he has a reputation for winning deals, for winning trades, fleecing teams, at least in the past. I wonder how this one is going to go down. I wonder if he's willing to, I guess, have some pain, because I think it is going to hurt a little bit what he's going to have to do.
Drop his pants?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's going to be this, Trader Danny won the deal. This one's going to hurt a little bit.
There's no video.
At least suppress it. Well, right? That's what it's going to be. This one's not going to be like, won the deal, killing everybody, like easy win for us. This one's going to be painful.
Well, and I tell you, we talked about, remember when his dad came out talking about Boston? And now 1 year left in the deal, and how Danny could use it and be like, I'd love to give you Tatum and Brown and Rozier and these two picks, but there's no guarantee I got this guy long term. That's a little bit too much. So I'm going to take Jaylen Brown out of it, and it's going to be Tatum, Rozier, Memphis pick in 14, and like you said, Williams. I don't know, kid with upside maybe. Who knows? Because he could still use the whole. I got 1 year left. For this guy, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, right?
Yeah, that's why you hold back on two of them. You say, I'll give one of them now.
Be a fleece if he could get him and keep Jaylen Brown. To me, I don't care how many picks you give up.
I agree.
If you can keep Jaylen Brown and give up Tatum, whatever, and picks, then that's a steal. Then he stole him again.
If they do that deal that I ran down a few minutes back, which would be giving up one of those two guys, I will guarantee you there will be calls here the very next day sitting there going, I can't believe they gave all of this up for Anthony Davis for 1 year. You got to take risk in this game. And most of these guys are looking for one-year deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Kyrie had an opt-out after a year or two.
Oh, that'd be miserable.
They're all going to do this. But this is the nature of the game. Unfortunately, they right now are running the NBA.
They're running the league.
The players are.
I would say maybe 10 of them are.
Yeah, but in the
top 10 players are.
In the NFL, do you see Tom Brady saying, screw the Patriots, I'm going to go play for the Packers? Or, Aaron Rodgers sitting there going, I'm going to leave and play with Atlanta.
Listen, I would love for that to be an option. I want the baseball rules. I want the rules where you get a 6-year deal and then you get a player option. It's not even the team's option. It's the player's option. You have a crappy season, and then so what? You still get paid. If you have a great season and you have the perfect opportunity to double your money, you get to screw the team that actually gave you that option.
But think about this offseason. Think about the NBA offseason. All of these players that are going to move to other teams, and they're doing it because they're free agents, and they're doing it to play with other guys. I mean, if Kyrie Irving is told by Danny Ainge when they have that meeting in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to bring back a lot of the same guys. Maybe I can plug in a guy. Nope. You have no shot of Kyrie Irving.
The only guy that
back.
Can't come
no.
back is Rozier. That's the only
right.
one that can't come back.
Right.
Otherwise, I think you can come back with the same team. Can you make it to the finals? Well, I would also say it depends on what happens in Toronto. Does Kawhi Leonard, does he sit there and say, screw it, I'd rather play in L.A. I want to be a Clipper. I'm going to change that organization around. Do you think he stays? And that's all, I think, based on how far they go if they get out of the Eastern Conference final championship and if they make it into the finals.
So we talked earlier about how, and I think we've kind of swayed you a little bit, Christian, how the NFL.
Oh, no, you didn't more than sway me.
He's all in now.
I'm all in.
The NFL should absolutely 100% have a draft lottery.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it makes perfect sense. I'm shocked they haven't done it yet because you do it maybe right after the combine and you have an audience. I mean, the ratings last night for NBA's lottery was up 77%.
Not bad.
77% in the NFL. So what they did was here, NFL research, what they figured out is they just took the bottom 14 teams in the NFL, and they just said, okay, the exact same order, right? So in other words, the Cardinals were the worst team in the league.
Okay.
So they were the Knicks.
Okay.
So the Niners were the second worst. They were the Cavs. And they went to 14, who was the Falcons, so they were the Kings. And they said, based on what happened last night, your new NFL draft order would have been the Jacksonville Jaguars
building something
would have
special
gotten number
with
one.
Kyler Murray.
Can you imagine if they got Kyler Murray?
We're building something special.
The Buffalo Bills would have gotten number two instead of nine that they got. The Cardinals would have got number three. And then the Bengals, who were 11, would have got four. So this is how they just sort of did it, right? But can you imagine if you had 20 teams who didn't make the NFL, the playoffs, and you're talking about fan bases that are into this to find out if, hey, we were the 10th worst, we got a shot of getting number one, and they have to do it. And I would do it for that kid, just make it ready to go in 2 years for that kid Lawrence out of Clemson, right? I mean, he looks like one of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen in college and might be, people are talking about him at that level. So 2 years from now, the draft lottery to find out, not the end of the season, but to find out who gets Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah,
are you kidding me? And the other thing,
I love it.
Yeah, and then
I love it. I love it.
You hated it.
I know. I love it now.
I'm sorry.
I changed my mind.
Because it also involves, let's say New England's still good, you know, but New England traded for so and so and they got Cincinnati's second round pick. And Cincinnati's 12. And all of a sudden they win the lottery. Now you get 33. Because now the draft order's all screwed up. Now you get the first pick in the second round.
So you end up doing some sort of trade, and you're getting Cincinnati's pick, and you just win the Super Bowl, and then you end up getting the number one pick? Because it could be possible based on just luck,
yeah,
right?
You know what they would have to do? They would have to they would probably have to grandfather it out or something like that down the road. Well, they would if you had already made trades with other teams, but they would if they were going to do this, they're going to do this 4 years down the line. That's when they're going to do it.
When is the next owner's meeting?
They should do it.
One's next owner's meeting.
No,
I'm bringing this up.
It is interesting how it affects future trades. Like the Pats could sit there and say, listen, we already have two or three 2020 draft picks from teams. You know, I don't know if there's a deal that they got 2 years away from a draft pick. I don't know if they go that far, but at least next year's draft. So if they say we're going to implement it next year, so this year you can't trade for future picks?
They might do that, but
or at least you understand that this is the way it's going to be.
Maybe. Because the NBA
you never know.
Teams understand that, and we were watching the draft last night, the draft lottery, because Boston could have moved in significantly with both Sacramento pick and the Memphis pick could have been theirs at number 9.
So now you get protections.
Yeah.
You would have to get protections, just like the NBA.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll trade you a future first, but it can't be a top four.
Yeah, that part I hate.
Either
trade the pick or don't trade
the pick. Or it turns into 2 seconds.
I'm protected. As long as it's not number one, you can have it. No, you traded it. It's mine. You don't circumstances attached to it.
The NFL absolutely 100%
I mean, think about it. Think about
it's such a no-brainer.
And I tell you what, it is. It's flat out going to happen. The relationship that the NFL is now fine with, as far as the casinos, Vegas, there's a team there. ESPN's going to have a hub at some hotel. What's the hotel they're going to have? It's going to be their gambling capital or whatever the hell they're going to do. ESPN's going to start doing shows there, specifically gambling-related shows. This was at a time when if you're doing a college football show, you couldn't even talk about the odds. You could talk about who the favorite was, but you couldn't give the odds. You couldn't give the point spread. Now that's all they do. That's all. If you watch a college football game day on Saturday mornings, they have every single pick that they do is married to the odds. And whether or not you should bet them or not.
It's about time.
You're laying extra juice there. It's minus 120.
No, I think it's going to happen. I can just see it already. Big giant ball and, you know, coming out. Like, you know, like something like a, you know, Ninja Warrior. And like the players get dropped. They got new flips.
So you don't like little ping pong balls. You want the big balls.
I want this. I'm all about big
balls. Big balls. Exactly. get ready for stuff like this. All right. This is in USA Today. All right, get ready for it. If there's no Kyrie Irving here, this is the type of stuff you're going to be reading about. A report. This is a report. Ricky Rubio has interest in signing with the Celtics.
Ooh.
Oh, there you go. In an interview with Eurohoops, veteran point guard Ricky Rubio discusses his playing future. He's set to hit free agency on June the 30th, and, of course, the team he really wants to be with is the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, this is another with no sources.
How about that? Isn't that pretty?
Probably, Bill. Probably. Or Charlotte with Kemba Walker if he goes. So he's just looking at open opportunities. Ricky Rubio is a fun player to watch. He would not work in Brad Stevens' system whatsoever.
But here's the thing, though.
Terrible three-point shooter.
So for a city or a team that couldn't attract any, you know, big-time free agents, they've gotten Al Horford, say what you want. They traded for Kyrie Irving. Still, I think he wanted to come here. He wanted to be here. They probably could have shipped him someplace else, but he politicked to make sure he was here. And they got Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, but this is all new. I mean, before that,
it's a trend now, isn't it?
The free agent they got was, you know, Dominique Wilkins when he was 46 years old.
Oh, Shaq.
Xavier McDaniel.
Oh, Shaq.
All old guys.
They weren't
prime players.
I know, but still, the point is that they've had
three players.
This wasn't
Shaq in Orlando or Shaq with the Lakers.
Skinny Shaq from a Blue Chips movie. Yes. Yeah, that's what you want?
That's a different guy. Shaq from Uncle Drew.
I think that's a good sign. If you're, because really somebody had to be the first. So Al Horford, was the first. Kyrie Irving was second. Well, I'm giving them credit for that.
Okay, but
and Gordon Hayward.
So that's why it's even.
That's a good sign.
It's even more important than you hold on to Kyrie Irving, because if you don't hold on to Kyrie Irving,
guys want to come here. Guys want to play here.
But those guys attract other top players. So if you don't have one of those guys, that's why this cute little team. What is Al Horford? Excuse me. Disrespect to nobody. Is Al Horford going to attract free agents to this town?
Oh, I don't know. Did you see those eyelashes?
Get off Al Horford's back.
I'm sorry. At his age right now, he's a good player to have here.
He was the first. He's good basically Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's Columbus.
Right.
And it's just fitting that he came here. He was the first one to land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock didn't land on him. He landed on Plymouth Rock.
They had to pay him more than he's worth, but that's okay.
That's all right. Somebody had to be first.
Sure.
He helped with Gordon Hayward, but is Gordon Hayward a top five player?
It
no.
doesn't need to be.
Say 25?
Top five.
No.
Doesn't need to be top five.
Top 10.
Doesn't need to be.
Top 85 this year.
To win, you do.
No,
top 85. Top 85?
No, this year probably 150.
No, I was going to say.
Oh, God. He's not even on the list.
Good God.
Oh, there were nights. It was nights he was top 20.
No. And he was always back.
It was such a big moment when he had a good game that every time he had a big game, they dunked him with Gatorade.
Gordon Hayward
came. It was his birthday every single time.
I don't know if you realize this, but he came back 12 times this year.
Steve's back again.
Like at least a dozen times. Gordon Hayward's back. I came back 12 times.
Oh my God! Where'd he go? What happens if the Knicks? So poor Stephen A.
That sounded like it.
Stephen A. is going to have to have his phony little rant again. What happens if the Knicks don't get Kevin Durant? Maybe Durant stays in Golden State. Kyrie says no, and then they can't work out an Anthony Davis deal. They got like $85 million of cap money. What are they going to do?
Stephen A. is such a fraud. You know the whole thing we played earlier when he said, "I'm telling you, you know, if they got Zion." They were going to use it and trade him for Anthony Davis. That is such a great little take, and to pretend like you got a source that tells you, because you know what? Now it's never going to happen, so we'll never know. You know what I mean? We'll never know.
I love it when he says, oh, they're saying they're going to keep him, but I know. He knows. He knows. He knows everything. All right, we got last call. It's coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best, you know, we've saved for last.
Let's go, let's
get a f***ing end.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier.
Swung on a high fly ball deep to left field.
Maloney sends one high and deep to left.
Way back it goes.
Conine tried to dig again, but no chance to play it off the wall when it's into the net.
You can forget about it.
Lou Maloney at his first Fenway Park at bat as a major leaguer.
Lou Maloney is homered in his first at bat at Fenway Park.
What a thrill for the pride of Framingham.
The local kid goes deep and the Red Sox lead it 5-0.
Wait a minute. Birthday or something
you
like that?
Play
what
baseball?
The hell are we doing?
Did you know he played baseball?
I did, but I mean, is it his birthday today?
21 years ago that happened.
Oh, wow.
21 years ago today.
Today.
Wow. You, that's
do this, you do this every year? You did that in the 18th year, the 19th?
It's
the
nice. 20th? Every May 15th. I know. I remember my parents' wedding anniversary by that date.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wait, so your parents got married on May 15th?
Yes.
And you
hit a
home run. Your first home run. First at bat. First pitch?
No. 3-2.
3-2. Wow, you had to work it, huh?
I did. I worked the count. Followed
up. Look at you.
So it's easy to remember. May 15th.
What kind of pitch was that? Big anniversary the other day. Was it Nomar? Was it 20 years ago? They had the 10 RBI game. Remember that one?
Yep. Three bombs.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was the other day, I think.
This segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. These days, you got to be really careful what you say because we're in the politically correct world. You got to be very careful what you say. Deontay Wilder, though, he's not concerned at all about what he's saying.
Hey, Dominique Brazil asked for this. I didn't go seek him. He seeked me. So if it comes, it comes. This is a brutal sport. This is not a gentleman's sport. I keep saying this is not a gentleman's sport. We don't ask to hit each other in the face, but we does anyway. And you can ask any doctor around the world, he'll tell you the head is not meant to be hit. Anybody can go. And on this particular time, we have bad blood against each other. This is the only sport where you can kill a man and get paid for it at the same time. It's legal. So why not use my right to do so?
See, so what's everybody getting all over Marchand for? I mean, come on.
What is the movie where you get one day to kill everybody, anybody you want?
Purge.
That
would be the Purge.
Is that what it's called, The Purge?
Yeah, something like that. Right?
I missed that movie.
Yeah.
No, it's like three of them.
I don't know.
Like three different purges.
Like Taken?
one, two, and three? No, totally different. Okay. Like one day out of the year, everyone, right, is allowed to, I guess, kill whoever they want.
Was this like the whole thing that got Wiggy going? Talking about how you wanted to like murder me and torture me?
Maybe. I'm not sure. But this is basically what he's talking about, right? I mean,
similar, yeah. Legally, you can kill a man in boxing, in the sport of boxing. So why?
Well, legally, I mean,
that's what he said.
I guess you could kill somebody if you hit him the right
way. This is the only
spot
where you can kill a man and get paid for
it. To actually take a ball and throw it as hard as you can off somebody.
True.
You heard about Lamar Odom. He's trying to get back into basketball. Nobody wants him. He's old and he can't play
anymore.
Ooh.
That's his favorite city.
Stop it.
Veteran minimum.
Oh, talk about
mid-level exception.
Talk about a cute little team. He's got a problem, though, and I don't know if it's going to allow him to come back and play basketball. He has admitted this.
Drugs?
To everybody. Nope.
Alcohol?
Cocaine?
Nope. He's addicted to sex. He's bedded more than 2,000 women, including strippers and prostitutes. He's coming clean, though, about his sex life. I wonder if Chloe knows about it yet. Figured this out.
That whole addicted to sex thing, because I know you feel about it. You know what that is? That is just sort of like you're trying to take the heat off yourself, right? I mean, all this pressure building up, you're cheating on everybody, you're banging everything in sight, and then you just sort of sit there and say, why hide it anymore? Let's just admit it. And that way I can tell you, everybody, that I got a problem.
I'm so horny, I haven't used my vibrator in weeks.
I got an addiction.
That is the lamest addiction.
I love you, but it's not my fault.
Who doesn't want to be addicted to sex? You know the problem? You know what people,
I got mental health issues.
The people who aren't addicted to sex, you know who those people are? People who are ugly, fat, and can't get any anyway.
Get ready for sexy content.
Those are the people who aren't addicted to sex.
Very sexy.
So if you're having a lot of sex,
you
probably got money, you're good looking, you're an athlete. There's one of those four things.
Musician.
I've never seen a fat, ugly guy be addicted to sex.
You
know why? He ain't getting any.
God gets the good looking people in the end. He comes back and gets you good looking people.
What the hell are we doing? This guy's got money and fame, and women are throwing it at him.
There's only two ways to go. Either admit that you're addicted to sex, or find Jesus.
Yeah. He doesn't want to find Jesus.
So here's the great thing. He admits in this.
I found Jesus.
He admits in this new book that apparently during their marriage, he cheated on Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, my Lord.
Says he's shocked, he's embarrassed, but guess what? He's addicted to sex. He couldn't do anything about
it. It's not my fault, Chloe.
By the way, does anybody believe the 2,000? He's still 8,000 shy of Wilt, right?
I was going to say, he thinks just because you played for the Lakers doesn't mean you have to try and be Wilt Chamberlain. That's not the case. This would have been a great topic for You Call It.
Ooh.
Which so one? You Call It tomorrow,
I don't know,
right?
Lou, you can give me yours first. I think, Lou, you have a decent one, right?
Yeah, I'm getting kind of annoyed because I don't know if people understand it. They don't understand the system, how it works, whatever. But there's this group of Red Sox fans that I feel are really angry and actually are like trying to force, in their opinion, like Dustin Pedroia to retire.
They want him to go away.
He's away. Yeah, how is he affecting this team?
That's a good point.
In any way.
Permanently. They want him permanently to go away. It makes no sense.
He should just go. I'm tired of it. Tired of what? Him rehabbing his knee? Right.
Okay.
What's pissing you off so much? I didn't go away.
So that's his. He'll lose because I always win.
You always win. I lose every week.
We're going to change this to Christian Call It.
Yeah, it should be I Call It.
I had a great one last week.
And you don't even want to, you know, be part of it. Like, you never come up with a good idea.
Because I come up with great ideas. Here's my idea.
This is something everyone can relate to, not Dustin Pedroia. Okay, mine is change shaming.
What does that mean?
When you go to buy something and there's a little cup or something like that, and they want your change at Dunkin' Donuts, at any store, at any restaurant, they want your change. I'm done with people trying to get my 35 cents.
Good luck with that.
And my 35 cents. So in other words, I want to keep my change.
I agree with you. I'm going to the booth.
All right, have a good time.
You're just the cheap bastard.
No, what is your topic? Guess what? You don't have anyone. You don't have one.
I'm going to go to the Game of Thrones again. I'm going back to it. They're pissing me off. All these people are comparing everything to Game of Thrones.
You have no creativity.
I have plenty of creativity.
You should have saved Lamar Odom. That would have won.
Shut up. This hour brought to you by FW Web Company. The hour is over. Go home for you.
Am I right or am I right?
Back tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Sex addiction. Give me a break.
Over. We suck. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.